All right.
It's so cold
in the V.
Are we supposed to podcast?
In the V. Welcome back to It's Cold in the V. I'm your host, Alex Patak, here with my old friends, Jeremy V-Man Hammond.
V.
And Katie V. Leon.
I am V confused by this bit. There we go. That's a word.
Doesn't seem like you are. You got it right the first try. Right.
Damn, it's cold in the V.
So we're here in the V, which is our new recording location after we were forcibly removed from the anime room.
Let's talk about consent and podcasting. And when your neighbors are 80 years old and don't like it when you scream at 6 p.m. every Monday.
To be fair, I don't think it's even that. I believe the complaint was people walking in the hallway.
It was the specific complaint that was made was that Claire O'Kane slammed the door.
They had a picture of me with crosshairs on it. They said, this is the problem specifically.
It was on a website with a couple of pictures. It was like you and Gabrielle Gifford.
Yeah, but Jeremy's neighbors are old, and now we're recording at Katie's. And yes. I'm in a section of the couch I've named the V, and it is cold in the V. And now you're caught up, and you're ready to listen.
We do need a name for this location.
Well, you know, here's the story.
Spill the V.
I'm always good at naming places, so I'm just ignoring it. The VA.
I'm not
on my couch. Jeremy, we record in Jeremy's anime room, but my whole house is an anime palace because I live with two other weebs, and but we have hammers and stuff everywhere. But here's the thing.
And sickles.
The official name of my apartment is Thought Topics Regional Managing Headquarters.
Okay. Damn. That's a good name.
Corporate headquarters.
V for short.
My room's the Rose Garden.
Damn.
But I think for purposes of this podcast, we need like an anime-based name. Unless you want to continue calling it Thought Topic.
Can we describe the setup a little bit more? The first thing that comes to mind is like if the anime room went Super Saiyan. And had many more anime-themed accoutrements than, like, the three things in the anime room.
That almost were given just making to it a room. By a friend.
After the podcast started. And there was nothing in it.
Yeah, me and my roommate met in comic book college. And so we don't have any qualms about being in our 30s and just having, you know, fucking Beavis and Butthead merch hanging out or whatever.
It's a V-powerful location. Some things...
It's not even in its final form. We were literally talking earlier today about how
this is just a tall form with horns.
There are later transformations, folks.
Yeah. You guys will see us actually, like, hanging stuff up once we finish living our lives.
Hanging stuff up other than this hologram picture of Chairman Mao.
Yeah, welcome to my house.
We're all Maoists.
That's the thing, is if Dengists are listening to this podcast, shut it off right now. Because you are a visionary snake lying in the grass against the people. So, about this Mao, the fridge has a holographic Mao that is on one side a young, battle-worn Mao with the little hat that says, "Let's go." And then on the other side is the wizened Chairman Mao who sits upon his throne of solidarity.
And the bones of Falun Gong believers.
Yeah. Well,
Chiang Kai-shek is in the corner making the oh no face.
It's not mine. If you want to go in my room and critique my display of all my fucking anime memorabilia, be my guest.
I do want to do that, but we are physically tied to microphones right now.
So I feel like we have so much to talk about.
We do. We have a lot.
We have a lot to cover.
There's no time to discuss the Chrono Trigger box.
Yeah. It's a Famicom, so it just stays in the paper and we look at it.
Hello.
Okay, so let's begin.
I feel like there's three things we need to cover.
Spill the V.
We need to hear about Alex's trip. We need to hear about Katie and Jeremy seeing the Broly premiere, and then we need to lay out the rules for Katie's AnimeMatch.com profile.
Rule number one, shower first, or nothing happens.
And if there's any time, I do have a segment I would like to do, but I'm not married to the idea of doing it.
Well, let's roll with the punches.
Yeah, we'll roll with it. Let's begin with Alex. Tell us about this V-cation.
Okay, so I have a lot of details for the V-cation. I just might have to edit some of them out because of the passions they haven't arisen in me.
Sexual.
What? I know. What happened is I was invited onto a vacation right after I got married by my wife's family, and we were like, Yeah, sure, we'll go. When is that? January? That's forever away. We'll go wherever you want, you crazy bunch of loons. Not really knowing why there was a vacation or what was going on, but it turned out it was her mom's 60th birthday extravaganza where we were going to the tropics for a full week.
My family is all about the, like, not telling me why I'm there and then ambushing me with shit. It's very stressful.
I was very confused.
Yeah.
I was confused. That is not the controversial part. This is the part that I may want to take out. And I will be testing this to see how you guys feel about it. But you are both from Jewish families. Do you ever feel after around a week of every second with them, you feel yourself newly growing anti-Semitic? Oh.
Yeah, dog, why do you think that Jewish men marry Japanese women so often?
I don't know. I don't think I'm allowed to say that. But I was feeling it real hard for a few days towards the end where I was like, this is not okay to feel.
I have newfound respect for your wife. Like, I already liked her a lot, but now that I know she and I come from the same war-torn country of
Jewish family life.
You do what for a career? You do, excuse me, I wanted to list every illness in alphabetical order. What's in this food? What's in it? It's too spicy.
Sorry, I'm late coming down from my room. I've had diarrhea all night.
No, they weren't Virgil, Texas. They were a Jewish family.
Alex, IBS is per the American Jewish experience.
It's the diaspora?
Yes.
It's a diariaspora.
After the first time meeting Virgil, I did very distinctly leave there saying, I think Virgil might be Jewish.
His secret Judaism. He's the Jewish part of Japan inside. Moments that stuck out to me, which I feel like I could bring up because no one is going to listen to this podcast in that family, but there was one part where we were going to drive like 5 minutes away, and where we were, the cars drive on the left side of the road.
Mm-hmm.
So letting her dad drive us anywhere was like, you have to make peace with God before you get in the car because you might not be getting out of it. And their dynamic is they all harass their dad while he drives. Like, they comment on his speed and how close he is to the side of the road and how he's looking while he's driving and just the reckless way he's looking at the map. And they'll give him directions, but he gets a hard time while he gets the directions. And so we decided we were going to drive to a restaurant like...
Oh my God. Alex, you have lived such a sheltered, waspy life. This is my entire life.
Yeah,
Why do you think the stereotype came from henpecked Jewish women?
Well, like, I've had lots of Jewish friends my whole life, but I just didn't go on a week-long vacation with any of them.
Like, you're just, to me right now, you sound like someone who just moved to New York, and you're like, did you know that they dance on the subway?
No, but it's more extreme than that, because
they call it Showtime.
Oh my God, it's so fun.
It's unacceptable, the Showtime this family put on, I am against it. I am a New Yorker staff writer blogging about the way they are acting. No, but we're in the car and we are planning to leave. Like, everyone is in their seat, and the dad brings up a map of where we're going on Google Maps and then tries to plan his own route not using the Google map route on the this very small island where there's like four roads. He insists on picking another one. And then her brother pulls up a different map and they compare and contrast maps for a good 3 minutes.
You're just
and then
describing men to me right now.
So why did you have a car?
Because he insisted on it because they were like, we have to drive in the van. It didn't make any sense. And then what they ended up doing was driving with both map apps open at the same time, giving different directions.
Yep. You're not.
Why
describing...
isn't this shocking anyone?
Because we're Alex, we're Alex? Jews from Long Island. You're just describing like...
That's just like going to the deli. Yeah. Like that's just a regular
trip. Are
you
kidding me?
I can't do that's it. Just... I just go... I get... On the way here, Alex. I walked into a stranger's apartment because I just assumed it was the right one, and that's how I live my life.
Alex, this is how you survive these scenarios. You stay quiet, you make yourself small, and then if anyone directs a question at you, you just say, oh my God, does anyone in the family have a baby?
No.
Oh, shit, you're fucked. You always have to talk about the baby or the dogs.
You're upsetting the baby.
You can deflect to other things, though. Yeah. You can always, like...
Well, the other problem we were having is no one could make a decision in a way where it would take up, like, an hour to pick anything.
Well, so this is why they call Jesus King of the Jews.
Because he made
My
the decision
decisive.
To die for your sins.
He was the only one who could stand up and say, like, you know what, we're having fish and wine at this party.
You know what? I just did it. I did it. So it's fish. Look down. There's loaves. It's done. Forget about it.
One hundo. That's it. Oh my God. I'm so good at negotiating annoying Jewish families that, like, my other friends I grew up with bring me to their family weddings, not as like I need a date, please be my date, but like please deflect my family. I just like go out shield. There, I dress like a weird goth, but then they're just like, oh my God. I just say like, it's so beautiful. The decoration, she looks beautiful. They're gonna have beautiful babies. Run.
You know in rap songs when they talk about their Jew lawyer, this is what they're talking about, is Katie at a wedding.
Yo.
They dress her up like a Christmas tree.
Some stereotypes are true, and I really feel like I'm destined to be a talent manager.
Oh,
like, think
that.
About how good I am at handling our like emotional weird friends that I love
The talent.
But like just making so they don't have to know about stuff.
Our Alex, friends, or as we call them, the talent.
Yeah, I love you, Alex. I'm sorry, as someone that didn't, you know, you didn't go through the proper training to deal with that your whole life.
I wasn't ready. And I did the most Irish thing I could do, which is just drink heavily every meal.
See, that's my... See, because you were fucked because it was a small family. My other way of dealing with it, if it's really bad, is just finding the other freaks. So for me, it's always like my stepsister's husband's dad got divorced and married a black woman. So it's like me, her, gay Uncle Norman.
Get in here, gay Uncle Norman.
Yeah, like anybody else.
It's the Breakfast Club.
If there's no one there, I just fucking, you know, I just look... Or... sometimes at my aunt's house for holidays, I'll go in the garage with all the dads and like drink the real liquor that they hid because it's not kosher.
Well, that's always my move at a party with like when like my girlfriend and I started dating, or like in other situations where I'm going to a situation where I'm with a family I don't know. I just bring cigars and like it's
find
the easiest way to just get in with the dads. Yeah. Just be like, what's up? I got cigars, gang. And they're like, you want to play cards too?
Yeah, I can't
like,
deal.
Sure.
I can't deal with the hen pecking, but like, but I know like how to buy an okay whiskey, but not for too much money. So that's how I do it. Well,
you sit down at the table, you're playing cards. It's you, Castro, J. Jonah Jameson.
So Alex, now that you've experienced that, let me bring this up, even though I've talked about it briefly on the podcast. Can you imagine that scenario? And then someone you're related to also does stand up.
Actually, that did happen a different time I went out with them. And Adam Sandler's extended family was on a ship with us.
Oh, glory.
And they all had to tell me about Adam Sandler's nephew, who, surprise, surprise, also does stand-up comedy.
Yeah, well, imagine if you were related to Adam Sandler's nephew.
Oh, if only.
Okay. Anyway, cut that out. Let's talk about Broly, I guess.
Okay.
Okay.
Let's talk about Broly, the absolute savage, the man himself. I don't want to give too much away of the movie.
Have to do a podcast about it.
That's
now.
What I was going
to
say, is when it,
I think we
when
should...
it like fully comes out, Alex will see it, and then we should probably do
something.
I'm going
to see it Wednesday.
Should we save the whole, like, our Broly experience for that, then?
We can talk about just, like, the premiere party itself,
yeah.
And then we just won't talk about the movie.
Here's the last thing about my vacation. I was very jealous I was not at this Broly movie the entire time. You guys went to Broly with Chapo Trap House. That's like a 2016 Alex dream phenomenon.
It was also
fair.
It was also fucking funny because, like, we all knew each other. But clearly there was other like kind of like YouTube-y people there that were like way famous and like dressed like anime people. And then like we're all these like schlubs and everyone's like going up to these like people like, oh my God, it's you. And we're all like, so are you, where's drinking?
It's that same experience of watching like the Macy's Thanksgiving parade where just like random people show up and people charge to them. And you're like, that must be somebody.
Was Ninja there?
No,
I bet everyone had blue
Ninja
hair,
wasn't there.
Sonic Fox was
Sonic
there.
Sonic Fox was there, and he was sitting right fucking in front of us.
Yeah,
and
Jeremy
I was gonna go
up.
And talk, and I was like, he'll be at the after party, I'm sure.
But he's
and then
like
he wasn't.
20 or something.
No, he doesn't party.
I was gonna throw you into him. I was gonna be like, Katie, you go. You speak his language.
Honestly,
the thing about Sonic Fox, he's like a Jewish family.
Yeah, if Sonic Fox was at the after party, I would have been able to.
You have the right power level for that kind of battle. I don't. I just simply don't. I would have said something weird.
Yeah. I thrive in an awkward social scenario. My switches flip. You saw it happen because you know I'm like a socially awkward. I was going to say the Alex problem word for a second there. And then
the Alex problem word.
I think it's more the Jeremy problem word, but we'll move forward from here.
But I go into this survival mode and I think it's a really like crazy American psycho power that I've developed from doing comedy where all of a sudden I realize I'm in it and I gotta be cute and it just goes on. And so what happened is I was a little late to the movie because I had to come from work and I had to like trip over a bunch of people. So I didn't actually get to talk to anyone until we got out. The after party was in a not Dave and Buster's, but like basically
very similar to one
across the street from Fan of the Opera. We're in Times Square, aka hell. So I was just like, I'm just gonna make this worth my time. And
did you see Phantom of the Opera?
Yeah, dog. He was just hanging
he was
out
at the party, dude.
Everyone was there. Phantom. Dancing kids, awkward Goku making out with somebody, people with business cards. I don't know.
Holy
I have a
thick
question.
Vegeta.
I have a question. Yeah. How much groovy touching was going on at the DBZ after party?
Here's the thing.
Was it like the 70s?
It depends, because I think a lot of people actually knew each other.
Yeah.
Like there was a younger set that clearly are like, you know, kids that do like these anime networking things all the time, which is like an insane sentence to say. But like, I went
to
the
my card; it has stats on
it. Yeah, well, I went to the bar, and there was this like, you know, chick with cat ears, and like a guy in like a casual Future Trunks cosplay. They're like, "I love your outfit." I'm like, "I love you," and then I just started doing. You know, it was fucking weird. I think the weirdest part, though, is famously, we made Matt Crispin watch anime for the first time, and then he was there of his own free will, even though he was acting like he didn't.
Yeah.
Oh, you he think had you're to too good, Matt Crispin?
He came, and he was like there happily. He's like, I came because there's free popcorn. I'm like, you make $1 million. You're not here for the free popcorn, Matt.
Why don't we send you on a Jewish vacation, and then I go to the movie? Huh?
There was
He liked it. He won't admit it, but he liked Broly.
In his defense, the episode we showed him was dog shit.
That is true. But we left there, and like, obviously, you know, Will liked it. Will was psyched on it. Matt kind of had to like do the, you know, you ever like you ever have a cat who like doesn't want to admit it likes catnip?
Oh yeah.
And it does that little dance where it like wants to like,
I don't, what is this?
Yeah, like walks past it and it's like, I don't know what you think is gonna happen here, and then it waits for you to look away and then just like rubs itself into the scratching post. I feel like it was like that with Matt, where he had to like afterwards he's like making fun of, he's like, yeah, it's just like a movie about how everybody's pissed all the time.
And we're then, like, yes, that's what we like.
And then like a few drinks in, he's like playing fucking arcade Mario Kart, screaming about the rainbow beam.
Yeah,
oh, it was a rainbow beam. Spoilers.
It did remind me of that time we did that Delaware convention, and you remember when all those kids got really drunk and horny, and mm-hmm. like we kind of left.
Oh, do you remember? Yeah, I think I remember.
Listen,
it was a really weird experience.
So, kind of sticks out.
I think about it all the time, actually.
I mean, I left before Jeremy did because I had to work the next day. So I don't know if any weirder vibes happened after I left. But we met some nice people, though. I didn't really talk to them as much as you did, honestly.
Did you get Bulma?
There wasn't any Bulmas there. I was disappointed.
That's weird. Oh, it is. She's an icon.
No, but I did meet this dude who came up to us. Who, do you remember, like, we were just standing by the machines, and this random dude comes up to us, and he's like, what is that, Hi-Chew?
Yeah, we found some Hi-Chew. We're going to eat some Hi-Chew. I don't know who belongs to, but I'm going to put some in my mouth.
There's a lot of snacks in his house.
I'm going to have a Hi-Chew. I'm going to have a bite of sour apple real quick. But what were you saying?
Keep talking.
The big highlight of the night for me was on our way out of the theater. We were walking out of the theater, and somebody behind Katie went, "Yo,
oh,
Gogeta's a savage."
Yes, I'll never forget that. I got separated from everyone. That's what I heard, and I'm like, sick.
And then when we got to the Dave and Buster's and I got into the elevator and like we all cram into this elevator and everyone's clearly from the movie and I just like wait for the door to close, wait for like just half a second to pass and I'm like, so who did everyone think was savagest?
Probably Gogeta, right? Right?
No, it was a lot
Broly?
Of...
Broly? You think was Broly's most savage?
Savagest. Yeah, I think it was Broly.
What I'm learning is Hi-Chew is not a podcasting food.
No, it's not.
Sorry, Jeremy.
It just sits in your mouth.
So, last note that we have to touch on before we get into the episode is animematch.com.
Okay. I have a lot of thoughts and feelings, obviously. Let me swallow my Hi-Chew real fast.
Oh, you're going to need a Hi-Chew for this.
Okay. Guys, thank you so much for donating to the Patreon. We're very excited. I think what we're going to do to kick off the animematch.com profile is we'll make a video where we record the screen while we build it, and we'll talk over. It'll be very funny. But I need some ground rules. And I need to inform our piss pigs of what this is. And what it means. Number one, despite my brand, I am in a very committed relationship. Despite what you all think, I'm actually fine. And while it's well known that I'm into non-monogamy and someday I would like probably to have a second boyfriend, that I'm not even joking, I'm not going to meet them on animematch.com. What this is an experiment. It's a podcast promotion and it's a lot of fun. What it isn't is me trying to fuck anybody. Please do not DM me about how you're joining animematch.com. Please don't, you know, I don't
is
care.
Is this message for Benel?
No.
Who is also joining animematch.com.
God bless Benel.
He's looking for a love. Very committed girlfriend.
No, not anymore.
Oh, no.
Number two, I think we need any messaging or anything that we're going to be doing is going to be approved by me first. We're not going to be doing anything because it is my face. And I know 2019, my goal is to get murdered, but I want to get through. most of the year first.
I think the game
is... And I feel like catfishing people on animematch.com is going to really skyrocket those chances for me.
The game is to make it happen, but push it off a bit.
Yeah.
So you join animematch.com, but you play hard to get.
Yes.
But not too hard to get, because you'll get murdered.
Yeah, so we'll build the profile as a group. We're going to do messages as a group. We'll do, I think on the Patreon, we'll do updates about things that have happened on it.
Screenshots?
Yeah. Yes.
Or it didn't happen?
We'll share, yes, we'll do screenshots. I'm wondering how you guys feel about staging some photographs where we get any weeb merch I have and just really go all out with it. Uh-huh. Really just, fulfill some dreams.
Okay, so we're going to help you set it up and do a photo shoot, but then after that, you're just going to go off messaging fools, right?
Yeah, of course. Okay, I will update you guys in the chat if we need to make a formal decision.
Mm-hmm. Because I've never been on a dating app. I don't think I have what it takes.
Oh my God, that is right. You're such a freak who fell in love so purely. You never had the struggle. This will be educational. Also, maybe not, because who knows what the fuck this website is.
Alex fell in love back in the day when you had to do your dating apps on a rotary phone.
It was the 2000s. Everyone's dating app was a Muse video.
So I think maybe next episode we'll do a setting up of the profile and we'll talk about it.
I think it should be a video, though. Because we record, it needs that visual we're gonna. Element. I think we'll record the screen and then do commentary over it.
Yeah.
I don't know if that will be posted in lieu of a GT episode, but I do think that's how we should kick it off.
All right. Okay. So look forward to that. Possibly next week. I don't know.
Yeah, we'll figure it out.
Can we talk a little bit about our strategy here?
Okay. So are we looking? What? Okay.
We're looking for love, right?
Okay, what are our goals with KRL's anime
match? So you're not looking to smash. So we're looking for something serious.
Okay.
Which means a true warrior.
A true warrior.
We want no fake gamer boys.
Yeah, no.
No.
Yeah. How do you guys feel about maybe like trivia as gatekeeping?
Uh-huh. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Great.
I don't want to give them anything specific to jump off of. I want to give it to them. Just put the ball in their court and say, no fake gamer boys. You have to prove it in your message.
Well, we will build that together. I feel like you have to give a little bit because you got...
Give me a taste.
I'm a veteran of online dating.
I respect your service.
Thank you. They howl the holiday every year for me where everyone just lines up and says how sorry they am for me.
They line up and they're like, you're really hot, Katie. We all think so. Thank you for your service.
Everyone take a knee.
Thank you. I was out there in the trenches talking to dudes with facial hair instead of chins and
pictures with tigers.
Oh boy.
I hear about these tiger pictures all the time.
I would love to see one.
Holding up fish.
The fish is like a woman.
Wearing hats that I don't care for.
What does that mean? Like tri-corner hats?
Like those jester hats that you get at ski resorts?
A lot of dudes that have Burger those King mustaches that curl up and they're in what can only be described as Mad Max if he was a Victorian circus guy type outfit.
Like a picture that says,
m'lady protests too much. Okay, so...
Can I just ask you this one hypothetical question?
Great, let's go.
Leave it. Would you date someone you find on this app whose personality is catered towards and inspired by Baby from Dragon Ball GT?
How many sycophants does he have under his wing?
A powerful baby, like an alpha Vegeta baby.
An alpha baby?
An alpha baby.
I mean, I love...
A big baby.
I mean, I feel like most, I don't really want a big baby anymore. That was more of an early 20s mistake.
Hey now.
But this baby, GT baby, has goals. He wants to destroy the Earth. He's taking steps to achieve them. He doesn't seem to want to rely on anyone to talk about his problems. He's taking care of them himself.
No, he talks to himself after possessing other people.
Yeah, but he's not making me process it.
No, you're his angel. I know I'm like...
Would baby try to take me over, or would he just be okay with me being... No, probably not.
He would definitely try to take you over.
He'd want you to be like him.
Yeah, you know what? I've read Codependent No More, and let me tell you, I am Codependent No More. So I would have to say a big nosies on a baby.
I just watched that Lifetime show. It's all about baby.
Right, it's a rom-com except about murder.
It's fucked up, dude. That show is fucked up.
Yeah, because it's just rom-com tropes, which, if you think about it in a real-world context, is stalker murdery behavior.
Yeah. It's
gross. I just watched Rosemary's Baby, and that is a small baby.
I just watched Baby's Day Out, and let me tell you, that baby had a fun little day.
I just watched Look Who's Talking To, and those babies are horny, and I love it. Okay.
All right, let's talk about this episode.
Do we have enough?
Not really. Nothing happened.
The name of this episode is A Worldwide Problem. And we saw that and we all guessed what the worldwide problem could be. Some say it's money. Some say it's AIDS.
I say it's regulation making so tech companies are not held responsible for the content of their users.
I think it's big government getting in the way of disrupting the marketplace. But we all have a problem worldwide. And it's not the new one I have with the Jews. Which I guess is staying in the episode now. Because I called it back.
Oh, boy.
Where are we? We're in a spaceship. And we're landing. The pod's doors open, and who is there but our old friends, Pan and Giru and Goku and Trunks.
I feel like I'm there, you guys. Just they're really painting an elaborate, you know, like the art of radio has really dwindled over the years, but like I am closing my eyes, and I feel like I'm there with my old friends, and Trunks and Gara.
Sometimes
the door to the spaceship opens. Shoop. They step out onto the grass.
There's not grass there on Dende's lookout.
Alex,
let's be clear.
I know you're a comedian, but have you really thought about the true art of word storytelling?
Perhaps Foley?
I've recently thought about being a guy who gives tours of a cave. I think that could be me.
I used to give tours of the Lorikeet landing at the Oregon Zoo.
Katie gets it.
Yeah, I told them
all
about
that. You see up there? Those are stalactites. You know them because they hang on tight.
We toured a cave and there was this guy who, after he said and everything, was like, I'll give you a warning right now. I didn't finish no school and everything's got a little hint on my coloring book.
What?
And then he'd be like, look at this rock. Looks like a big old octopus. Just a bit of my coloring book. And then my favorite part after like an octopus and a lion and five things like that, he's like, my friends, I respect all people and it's not my wish to be offensive, but I will say this rock looks a bit like my old Native American Uncle Joe.
Don't mean to offend anybody.
I do not mean to offend anyone, just a bit of my coloring book. Look at that chief headdress. Oh.
Fuck. I forgot a major point in my KRL rules of ranting. That's fine.
I'll drop it in.
Oh, I just also wanted to tell the fans that my sexuality is complicated, and so please, you know, we made a joke about me being gay that was made very popular in the Christmas episode. Don't speculate about it, please.
Okay. Hey, if we're doing drop-ins, I'll just drop another one in.
Sure.
Which is special thanks to Jill from Funimation for hooking us up with those tickets to the Broly premiere.
Oh my God, yeah, Jill's are
so fucking nice of you.
Thank you so much. Truly.
Why don't you just say that at the end, and then I won't have to go and find it and move it around.
It's in the same place as the other thing you got to cut.
Okay, fine.
And let's go.
And back to live recording.
And cut again. And so there we are. Dende's lookout. Our heroes emerge back on the earth they left long ago. Pan is wilding out Nick Cannon style.
She's dancing.
She's saying it's good to be back.
She's doing the cabbage patch.
She's wearing her shoes in the house. She's just going off. My note here just says the crew lands and Pan is a bitch.
Yeah, she's just like, I did it all by myself. It was me. And it's like, bitch, when we all got signed together for this work project... You made us do everything, and now here you are showing off to Dende.
You weren't even invited. It wasn't even about you. You stuck on our ship.
Yeah, just stop trying to use my clout, Pan.
She's always trying to use clout.
Stop tagging me in your fucking post, Pan. We don't even know each other that well.
You're trying to get on other people's accounts, and she's talking the whole time like she wants Goku to be this old, shitty Goku. Like, this Goku we've already been seeing, this old, mature Goku. And we're like, fuck that. We want a little baby Goku whose dick flops out all the time. And he's always in a bath because apparently that's only important when you're young. That's the thing with him. And Goku is saying that he likes being young and he's going to get a new wife, which is not something he says out loud, but it's kind of like, we can read what your words are saying and we can read what you're saying. You like owning women because you're a monster. And so he's having this back and forth with Pan. She calls him a little brother. He says he's tagging around like a little brother to her, which I think snubs their budding romantic incestuous relationship.
I don't care for that.
All right, well, it's happening either way.
You know somebody's made that, though.
Somebody, yeah, you can find that. Google Pan Goku love and send us your screenshots.
No.
Send them.
No, no.
Where should they send? Send them to Virgil, Texas at Chapel Trap House. He wants to see what comes up.
We're like, thank you for doing our show and being our friends. Here's some child pornography.
But it's okay. It's illustrated, so it's okay.
If you look at his Twitter, his pinned tweet for many years is just no hentai allowed and then a frowny face.
Oh, yeah. I have one of those with a Digimon.
Yeah.
No Digimon allowed.
Change into consenting adults.
It's hard in this adult world.
Yeah, just milking this cow till it fucking dies. The Digimon theme cow groans in pain.
Oh, what's that coming out of your udder? Is that blood? Oh, good. I like blood.
And then you suck the blood out of the cow. I don't know what we're doing anymore.
What are we doing? We're pulling that fucking udder straight off its body.
Okay.
Beasts are only to be dominated.
Anyway.
Thus so, is the rights of man.
So Popo's there and...
Popo's there, Dende's there, the old crew. We're hoping we get a whole handful of Mr. Popo, but he mostly just sits there and is like, I know that I'm bad. Pan gives Giru a kiss and says that she loves him, and then Giru blushes and develops love for the first time.
I don't need robots learning about human love. That's a reoccurring nightmare I used to have.
Yeah, that's no good.
So Dende tells Pan that she's being a tiny... little binge, and that she can't use the Dragon Balls to wish Goku back because then they'll have to go get the Dragon Balls in space again and it would be no point to it. And so they talk them away and Dende smiles at Mr. Popo and he says, "Mr. Popo, my forbidden friend, it turns out we're possessed by baby and we're evil." And then they both go, "Heh, heh, heh, heh," which lets you know they're evil because that's what baby does. Meanwhile, Mr. Satan is hiding inside a Boo. He's in a circular sack and he says, "Ha, ha, I'm hiding in my Boo sack."
Yeah, that was weird. It took me a minute for me to understand that he was inside Boo's stomach.
Well, I mean, but they've been there before, and there's got to be a small part of you that's thinking, like, that sack looks pretty comfy.
No.
No. It looks warm.
It looks wet.
It looks warm. It looks wet. It's like being in a womb. It's being in a boom.
I have asthma, and I feel like the air would be really thick in there.
Mm.
You'd think so, but it not feels dusty. So good.
That's true.
You can count on that.
Do you think it feels good for Boo to, like, suck a person in? Like, there's, like, a sexual...
I don't think Boo...
Does he get off on turning them into candy?
Because he doesn't reproduce, so like that's got to be it for him.
Well, but isn't there a thing that the Boo race was like invented by porn or something like that?
Wait,
I don't think this is in the show, if that's what you're implying.
No, it's in one of the video games. There's something in one of the video games where like I think it's the Dragon Ball Online one.
Too many people have turned against the church! They're making a Boo!
It's something. Somebody's got to write in and clarify. I'm sure one of you knows what I'm talking about, but there's something about how like the Boo race in one of the online games exists because Majin Boo found porn and jacked off.
I do not think this is real.
I'm almost certain. Somebody please write in and validate this.
Are you sure it's not just like a weird flash game that some like rando
you're thinking
made?
Of the hentai section of Newgrounds.com. Easy mistake. Could be anything.
Think about that flash game where you jack off James from Team Rocket.
Oh, he's blasting off again.
Oy vey, all right.
Okay. So anyway, Mr. Satan, he's hiding in Boo, and everyone has been turned into a baby-possessed zombie because baby, it turns out, is like a bacteria, and he gets in your lungs like, aspartame. What's the one? Asbestos. He's like asbestos.
Yes.
If asbestos was fucked up.
Yes.
Like, if asbestos was Mountain Dew. And so he's in everybody, and everybody's just kind of smirking and has furrowed brows and is marching around town looking pissed off and but also laughing about it because they're like corn. And so Mr. Satan pops out, and there's a crowd that's attacking Majin Buu, and he punches them all with a Mr. Satan punch, which we do not see very often.
It was
pretty
tight. That's
true. Yeah. I even remarked, I'm like, oh, yeah, I forgot, like, Mr. Satan can fight sometimes.
Yes. On occasion, he'll dabble.
You got to feel bad for Mr. Satan a little bit. Like, that he has been the strongest man in the world for, like, a long time when we meet him. And then, like, out of nowhere, like, 20 new people show up that are all way better.
I would if he wasn't a complete shill about it front to back and immediately just lie and use his celebrity for wealth. He has no true fighter's spirit.
That's true.
Sorry, but I value fighter's spirit.
A true warrior.
Thank you.
Would use his strength for the people.
Thank you for this quiet agreement. We all agree.
I kind of got to pee, so you got to talk.
Okay,
faster.
Fine. Okay, so everyone is a zombie. Pan and Vidal are not Pan. Vidal and Chi-Chi are zombies. They're in the house. They're cooking, and they're like oats or whatever. I don't know why they're cooking if they're zombies, but they are. They're making a spread. It
looks
great.
They're angrily cooking in silence.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then the Goku and Pan show up, and they like sit behind the table, and they're just like, "So everything okay?" And they're like,
talk about nightmares. I do have a reoccurring nightmare that everyone's mad at me and I don't know why.
How's work? And then no one says anything and stuff like that. Just like really like worse than if the world blew up.
And so they're just sitting there like, so we okay to eat now or what?
Yeah, no. Ugh. It looks like a nightmare of social avoidance.
Oh, and she says some racist shit about Saiyans to him.
Yeah,
because he's not a food for you Saiyans.
Yeah, you Saiyans, you Saiyan monkeys.
Guys, ignoring no, monkey food. And ghosting is a form of abuse.
Of abuse. Mm-hmm. And we'll be exploring that with Katie's dating profile.
Woo!
Anyway, so Goku
can't
and Pan are at
pay
home.
Pay it forward.
Spread it into the world like a sick baby bacteria. So Pan and Goku are shocked. Trunks is at his house and he's like, "Where's my old man? I can't wait to hop back behind the corporate dirt bike." And his mom's there and she's like, "He's upstairs, you little slut." And he's like, "That's weird to say for my mom." And then Vegeta's like, "Hey, bitch. What's money?" He's leaning like a cool motorcycle guy. He's got his arms crossed. He's flipping a coin at the top in a dark stairwell. And Trunks is like, "This is weird." And he's like, "Is it, you little mop-haired bitch?"
And this is the funniest shit to me, because like from this point on, the whole rest of the episode basically is Baby trying and failing to reveal himself. The whole rest of the episode is him just doing what he's been doing the whole time, which is being evil and weird in a way that everybody else notices.
And Trunks is just like, "What's going on?
Yeah, what's going on? What is it? Dad, why are you being so weird?"
To be like, fair, though, like, Trunks reveals so much about his past abuse, like, when he first got his ship, because at first he's like, "My dad probably won't be here, but all the women in my life will be." And then he's like, "Holy shit, Dad!" And he's a dick, and he's like, "Seems fine."
He's always like this. But then he's also got like different hair and like scars all over his face and shit. And like, there's no point where Trunks is like, "So, going with a new look, I see." Trying a new thing for the fall.
But then after kind of just polite, like quietly bullying him for a little while, Baby's like, "All right, you're not getting it." And he flips his hair white and his eyes get crosshairs on them. And he gets red paint on his face. And he's like, "It turns out I'm Baby the whole time. Last time I saw you was when I was in your blood, pussy." And
all right.
Anyway, there's one more thing that happens, because Baby reveals himself to Trunks. And then he's like, "I'm surprised I'm fucking twisted." And then Giru is there and shoots a missile at him from his nipples.
Yep, that's right.
Revealing
that's the thing.
That he has nipple missiles the
nipple
whole time.
Missiles.
And he
shoots
actually
shoots him at the guy.
He has an arsenal, and so it's kind of like, uh-oh, trouble's a brewing.
Mm.
And then you kind of got to assume that Trunks is just done for from there, because he's got a big possessed Vegeta in his kitchen. And then we cut back to the Goku and Pan household, okay? Their extended family comes in. They're all being twisted. Goku is extra dumb and doesn't pick up on it at all.
Yeah, they're all being super... it was very Lynchian. People are like tersely serving food and
yes.
not letting them eat.
Uh-huh.
And then, yeah.
Everyone's drinking coffee.
Goten shows up and he's like super ragey. And then Gohan shows up and Pan's like, "Daddy." And we're like, "Oh, yeah, she's a little girl. And now she's going to get beat up by her dad."
You think I'm your daddy?
Everyone,
I'm a fuck daddy.
And it just shows you that the cycle of violence is just continuing.
It's inherited.
And it just bums me out.
It's like you're Slim Shady's daughter now. Because guess what? Your dad's turning blonde and he's doing pills. Okay? And so Gohan and Goten both blast the little squirts. They blast them to high heaven. And they zoom out of the house. And Pan goes, "Ouch, I've been blasted."
And then dies.
And then she seemingly dies.
And Goku's like, "You're gonna blow up the city." And they're like, "That's the idea, bitch."
Wait, Goku has this great line where after his son has supposedly killed his own daughter, he goes, "Are you the real Gohan?" Like, not noticing.
Right, and then Mr. Satan
different.
Shows up and he's like, "Goku, they're not Gohan and Goten. They've been possessed by Baby." And then Goku's like, "Oh, okay." But at that point, he'd already been fighting them a bunch. So I'm like, he was ready to kill
his
sons.
Any opportunity to fight, he's going to do. He loves fighting.
And I just
love to fight.
I'd like to remind everybody also that in like the last episode or the one before that, Gohan sees Goten and immediately is like, "That's not... That's not Goten.
That shit's fucked.
That's a different
up.
Dude. That's yeah. a different guy. He's like looking at me weird. That's all it took for him, and Goku fights his sons for a full half hour before he even considers the possibility.
Saiyans being Saiyans. What can I say? I know it's spacist.
They're genetically
I know it's
weak.
Spacist. I'm gonna say it. Saiyans be Saiyans.
And that's it, right?
Yeah, and then that's it. Well, yeah. Baby Vegeta also shows up and says, I'm here too, and then the episode ends.
Oh, yep. Okay.
So, looks like a hard spot for our merry band of men. And thank you again for your support. Can't wait to set up this dating profile for Katie and subject her to the horrors of love.
Out of seven Dragon Balls?
Out of seven Dragon Balls, I give this episode 4 out of 7 Dragon Balls. It had some interesting fighting and really dumb dialogue that I thought was funny.
Katie.
2 out of 7 Dragon Balls.
Ooh!
I thought it was stupid. I didn't like it. It's like nothing happened. It triggered my shit with people being mad at me. I don't know. I didn't like it.
I'm going to...
There was some fighting, though, so...
I'll split the difference. 3 out of 7. It's fine.
It seems fine.
All right, an episode about love. Play us out, Hall and Oates.